Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this evening. Thank you all for coming out and being here as well. Chandler, thank you for those two songs. The last two both talked about peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, and then the Prince of Peace. And I'm so thankful for that tonight, that we can have, each one of us can have that peace. And I trust that's why we're here tonight, is we have peace with God. We are surrendered to His will and want to be used by Him. I'm just so grateful that we can be in that position tonight. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. So we call this evening, sometimes we call it examination evening, and I guess this is supposed to be an examination message. And I was thinking about that and preparing for this, and, you know, council meeting, examination, and what I want to look at tonight is I want us to remember that as Christians, we need to be aware of where we are spiritually all the time. Not just at council meeting, not just when it's communion time. But we need to be on our toes, so to speak, spiritually all the time. And, you know, it's easy to get sleepy spiritually. It's easy to just slide along in life. You show up at church, you look right, you say the right things. But sometimes our heart is not where it's supposed to be. And so what I want to look at tonight is being in tune spiritually as something that needs to happen all year long, not just around communion time. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul here is writing to the Ephesian church, and if I did my checking correctly, the church here in Ephesus was made up of Gentiles and Jews. And it was also in a rather heathen city. So there was darkness all around them. There was sin around them. These people, some of these Gentiles had come out from sin. And Paul is addressing here in this chapter the importance of the separation from light and darkness, sin and life. I want to read the first 21 verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We'll stop reading there. The title of my message this evening is Children of Light, and I find that in verse 8 of chapter 5 there. Now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And what I want to look at this evening is this whole thing of walking in the light, being a child of light. What does this mean, walk as children of light? According to this verse, if we claim to be a child of God, we should be doing this thing of walking as a child of light, because it says, now are ye light in the Lord, therefore walk as a child of light. So I want to look at some characteristics of light to help us understand what this whole thing means of walking as a child of light. I have three different characteristics here, and I want to look at the physical aspect of light and then compare that to the spiritual aspect of light. Help us get a picture of what this walking in light means. So first of all, very elementary, light is the opposite of darkness. We get that. It's something that we experience every day. You go into a dark room, you turn on the light, poof, there goes the darkness, you got light. It's a simple concept we understand. And spiritually, light does the same thing. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None whatsoever. And yeah, according to that verse, this is something God is. So this light that we're talking about here, God is light. And so as children of God, we are to reflect this characteristic. We are to walk in this light. And just as the physical light cannot mix with the physical darkness, so can spiritual light and spiritual darkness, they can't mix either, because God is light. Verse 8 says, ye were sometimes darkness. And it listed off there the first several verses, a list of different sins that these people were involved in before. And for us today, you know, we can look back at our lives before we met Christ. We were sometimes in these things. This is what we did before. But now we are children of light, and there needs to be a difference. If there's not a difference, something is wrong. Because in God there is no darkness whatsoever. And you know, you can't mix this darkness and light thing. It just doesn't work. And spiritually it's the same way. If you try to live in darkness over here and light over here, it's not going to work. It just doesn't. The two cannot mix. Verse 11 says, have no fellowship with darkness. Again, just that thought that there is no darkness whatsoever with God. God is light, and there is no darkness with him whatsoever. The second thing about light is that light reveals. When I'm working, I despise working in the dark. Zach can testify to that. And I need a light on what I'm doing. No, it depends what you're doing. If the room is, say you're working in a house, if the room is semi-dark, if the house is dark, your work, which for me, drywall or painting, it might look great in a semi-dark room. You go shine a light on that, suddenly you got flaws popping out all over the place, and you can see what you need to fix. And yeah, you need the light to shine on it to reveal the mistakes. And spiritually, again, it's the same way. The light shows the flaws in our life. Verse 13 says, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Or made known, or shown, brought out by the light. So the light, the spiritual light, can in our lives show the darkness, show the flaws, show the areas that need to be corrected. And there's different ways that light works in our lives, through the Bible, through preaching, through the church, through friends. That is how that light can be shine on our lives and show us the flaws, show us the areas we need to work on. Third thing about light is light stands out. It's really hard to hide light. So you can turn light off, you can cover light, but if you leave light alone, you don't mess with it, it will be seen. It will stand out. In a dark room or in a dark night, just a little light will catch your eye just like that, because it, again, it's so much the opposite of darkness, it just stands out. And for us spiritually, if we're a child of light, we are walking in the light, and we're not tampering with the light, we're not covering the light, we're not turning the light off, it will be seen by those around us. It will catch the attention of those we interact with. Recently, we were at a job, and there was a couple of electricians that showed up to work on the same job. And right away, I could tell there was something different about these guys. They weren't your average cussing, dirty electricians. No offense to electricians, but there was something different about them. And just the way they handled themselves, the way they dressed, the way they talked. And we had some good conversations that day. And yeah, they were very conservative-minded, Bible-believing Christian guys. And you could just tell it without even saying a word. Again, that light, if you are a child of light, it will be seen by those you interact with, by those you come in contact with. So that gives us a good picture of what this light is that I'm talking about tonight, what it does. Again, we are light in the Lord, as it says in verse 8. Walk as children of light. So now, going on down here in the chapter from verse 8, Paul talks about several other things relating to walking as a child of light, walking as a child of God. He talks about in verse 11, like I already mentioned, having no fellowship with darkness, staying away from darkness, separating yourself from darkness. Verse 13, he talks about how, again, I mentioned this already, but how light reveals, things are made manifest by light. And then in verse 14, he says, wherefore? So, because of this, the previous verses here. So, again, we saw what light does. We saw what darkness is. We saw the need to be separated from that. Now, wherefore, because of, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Then verse 15, see then. So, the word see means like take heed. Again, because of this, take heed then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this word circumspectly, I want to look at a little bit. Again, so we saw in verse 8, walk as children of light, now walk circumspectly. So the English word circumspectly, that we don't use it very often, but it means, so breaking it down, the first part, circum, means like around, and then speckly would be to see. So you're seeing around. So as you're walking, you're observing your surroundings. You know what's around you. The Greek word that's translated circumspectly here means something similar. Several words that Strong's defined it as meaning is exactly, perfectly, and diligently. So that, especially the word diligently there, it's used several times in other, the same Greek word is translated diligently in some other verses in the New Testament. So walk diligently. You're not just haphazardly strolling along. You are diligent, you're aware of what's around you. And also along, it could carry the meaning too of fervently. You're not half-heartedly going about this. You're diligent and aware. And that goes right, then verse 16 goes right along with that. Because you are aware and diligent, now redeem the time. Make the best use of the time that you have. And the picture I get here in these verses is not a lazy Christian. This is a Christian who is on his toes, who is living life on purpose. This is a Christian who's walking as a child of light. He knows what's around him. He is aware, walking circumspectly. Now I want to look at an example of a Christian who, in the Old Testament, who walked circumspectly. We all know the story of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Notice the testimony that Daniel had here. Daniel 6, 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now listen to verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. I just was amazed again as I read this. They could find nothing in Daniel to accuse him of wrongdoing. And just thinking about it a little bit, so Daniel was taken from his hometown, from his home people. He was captured and brought here to Babylon. You know, he could have just slipped into the culture around him. He could have just, you know, let his guards down. There was all this sin, this darkness, idolatry happening all around him. He could have just slipped into that. But he was aware. He was circumspect. He knew whose he was. He knew what was around him. And he stayed in the light. He was a child of light. And when he was tested, when he was tried, there was no darkness found in him whatsoever. I thought that was just a tremendous example of this thing of walking as a child of light. So making it a little more practical, what does it look like for us today to walk as a child of light, to walk in the light? Just like I said about Daniel, walking in the light means I'm going to be open and honest. So again, light reveals flaws, right? So if I'm a child of the light, if I'm living, walking in this light, that light is shining on my life as I do things, as I interact with people. And a child of the light is not perfect. We make mistakes. We get that. We're not perfect. But when a mistake is made, a child of the light will do what it takes to make it right. Remember, the light's revealing that. So it's not like we're hiding this under here. But no, we want to do what it takes to make things right as they come up, as mistakes are made. And again, it's not something that we just do a few times a year. We don't just turn the light on a few times and clean out all the darkness and then we're good to go for a while. This light is on all the time. And so we, by God's grace, we take care of the flaws, the mistakes as we fail. It's a continual revealing, a continual growing, learning. And this means being transparent to God. It means being transparent to those around us, our families, our friends, our church. That's what a child of the light does. Walking in the light also means I will not have anything to do with darkness. You know, physically, if we are aware of a danger, we do things to keep ourselves safe. We do things to stay away from that danger. And if we are walking in the light reveals the danger, the light reveals the darkness, it reveals, you know, where we shouldn't go. And so we should be willing to do things to avoid that darkness, to avoid that danger. And sometimes Satan likes us to think that we can get pretty close to that danger and still be good. We can get pretty close to sin, pretty close to darkness, and still be good. But again, that's a dangerous place to be. And that light, walking in the light, it helps us see the danger. And yes, we are in the world. We cannot totally get away from the darkness. But we need to stay separated from that darkness. Remember, there is no darkness with God. And so, by the grace of God, we can be in the world and still be separated from that. A child of the light will stand out to others. If I'm walking in the light, those around me will see it. It will be evident. In Exodus, there's the story of Moses when he came, one of the times he came down off of Mount Sinai. He had been talking to God face to face for a while. I think it was multiple days. And his face was just glowing so much that he had to cover it because the people were afraid of him. And I don't think we will have a little glow around us, but there should be something in our actions, in our life, that shines to those that people can see something's different about him. He knows God. He's walking with God. And again, if we are a child of the light, it will be evident to those around us. And as we shine to others, as we let that light shine, you know, light directs people, right? Light shows you where to go. And as we let our light shine, it can, by God's grace, point people to God and show people the right way. And all this thing of light and walking in light, this light comes from Christ. In verse 14 of Ephesians 5, the last part says, "And Christ shall give thee light." This isn't something we can produce on our own. We can try till we're blue in the face, but the light we try to produce on our own will not last. It's a fake. It's not going to have the same qualities as Christ's light. Christ's light is the real deal. It will keep shining. It will keep revealing. Whereas our man-made light will not. A little different aspect of this. In 1 Corinthians 11, these are verses that are usually read around this time. But I want to look at something here. So Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and Corinthian church had some real problems going on. If you read the book of Corinthians, there was some pretty serious sin going on in the church. And Paul's saying, you're talking about the Lord's Supper or communion. This is where the ordinance of communion was established. And then verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ." Sorry, body and blood of the Lord. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now notice verse 30. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." This doesn't really sound like a church full of children of Christians walking circumspectly. Weak and sickly and sleeping. The exact opposite of what we saw in Ephesians 5 about walking circumspectly. And yeah, a sleeping church is not an effective church. You know, just as walking in the light has an effect, is seen by those around us, it affects those around us, the same way as when we do not walk in the light, that also affects those around us, and specifically here, the church. You know, yeah, it can have a negative effect on the church, on my brother. Paul goes on here in 1 Corinthians, on to chapter 12, and he talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about how that there's different gifts, different administrations, different talents. And yet, the Spirit of God is filling each one of these people who are working in this position. So there's that unity of the Spirit of God is unifying this church. Well, I was thinking about it. So we get the thing, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of light that we're talking about, right? The light, darkness, Spirit of God. If we are not a child of light, if we're not walking in the light, and yet we are in the church, we're trying to, you know, do our thing in the church, the Spirit of light that fills us, the Spirit of God that fills these positions in the church, you know, the darkness and the light are going to clash. It's going to work against each other. And the two won't mix. My personal walk, if I am not walking in the light, that will affect the church. It will affect my brother. It will affect my effectiveness in the church. And it's not, it will affect more than just me. You know, there's so much work to do in the church. There's so much work to do around us in our communities. And we need everybody. We need everybody to be walking in the light, to be filled with that, with the Spirit of God, and to be an effective builder. There's work to do for those who are walking in the light. I have some verses I want to read yet in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. I want to read from verses 5 through 9. Verse 5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm so thankful tonight for that salvation that we can have, for that victory that we can live in, that by God's grace that we can live in this light. And that's my heart tonight, is that we, each one of us, could look at our lives and see, are we really walking as a child of light? Saying I'm a child of God is one thing. Walking is another. Am I really walking as a child of light? And to challenge us to be aware, to be circumspect. It's not just about making things right at certain times of the year. It's not just about appearing right. But is my heart really right? Is that light shining on me and I'm walking in the light? Again, I'm so thankful that God has provided that for us, that we can live in victory. We don't have to be afraid of the light. We should be welcoming that light in our lives. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love. God, you care about us. You want us to live victoriously, God. And God, you know each one of our hearts. I pray, God, that you would show us the darkness. Show us the areas that we need to give up to you. And help us to walk in your light. Pray, God, that in my life that light wouldn't be hindered, wouldn't be covered up by selfishness, but that it would, that we could just totally give everything up to you and be clear before you. Thank you, God, for the church. Thank you for each one here. Pray that you would bless the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.